We finally got our Zoom meeting to work so we can record now. But yay. Welcome back to Beyond the Gate. Barring technical difficulties, we are here to talk about episode 55, The Adult's Way of Life.
Yes, but before we do that, I wanted to talk about something exciting that we did this past weekend. what did we do, Megan?
We went to a Comic-Con again, but a smaller one this time.
Yes, this one was just anime.
Yeah, that was, I kind of like that. We spent more time, like, we were able to talk to the voice actors and walk around a little bit more to look at the artists, and just, it was very leisurely, and we got to see a lot of panels, and then if we needed it, we could just take a break and chill at Meg's apartment.
Yes, it was very nice. Yeah, I always like going to see all the art, and also all the cosplays are so cool. What was your favorite cosplay that you saw?
Well, I did take a picture of one. A guy was dressed up as Donald from Fire Emblem, which is an obscure character that I love that I didn't think anyone remembered. So that was kind of cool. And his costume was spot on. But I am kind of partial to that little girl who's dressed as Emma, who we took a picture with. It was so cute.
That was adorable. Yeah. We saw a lot of cool cosplays. I saw a lot of Jujutsu Kaisen this time. Yeah.
Not a lot of wigs, but a lot of people were wearing the uniform. As cool.
Did we see Nanami? I think we did.
Yeah, there were a couple of Nanamis. There were a lot of people as Genshin Impact characters.
Yeah.
You can always tell because it's elaborate. No, I mean, you can tell, though. Like, their costumes are so elaborate and, I don't know, they're of a certain style.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I think one of my favorite cosplays that I saw was there was somebody as Wart and Greg from Over the Garden Wall.
The Greg was pretty good. Yeah, I saw a couple of Dazai Chuya pair-ups.
Yes, okay, yeah.
Really awesome.
I like that. I love them. What was your highlight? What was your favorite thing?
Meeting all the voice actors, I think, because they were so kind and had a lot of cool things to say about the shows they work on. Especially meeting Rei's voice actress from Promised Neverland. She was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we are very chill cosplayers. So we did dress up both days. The first day, my sister was with us, and we went as
Nobara, Megumi, and Itadori, but their outfits from the Lost in Paradise outro of Jujutsu Kaisen.
Yes. Yeah.
Very comfortable. I was Itadori.
Yes, and I was Megumi.
And Ruth killed it as Nobara. She looked great.
Yeah. Yes. We all looked great. What are you talking about?
And then the second day was a little easier. We were just kids from the Promised Neverland, so all three of us wore white button-up shirts with white pleated skirts and boots, and Ruth drew numbers on our necks. So I was Rei's number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we all picked our favorites, because I was Phil. He's the best.
Yeah, and Ruth is Norman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's why it was so awesome when we found a little Emma and we took a picture with her. It was so
our
great.
Our sister.
Yeah.
getting to meet Rei as Rei was like a big deal for me. I got her signature.
Yeah, that was fun. Because we also met Emma's voice actor, who also plays Gon from Hunter x Hunter. So. Yeah.
One of my favorite voice actors to meet, well, actually, I got two, but first was Ruri's voice actress, because she makes all her own art that she's signing. It's like, oh my goodness, it was gorgeous. And we got to talk to her about Dr. Stone, and she was like, I mean, that cast is so connected. She was talking about she's married to the guy who voices Ryusui, and she's just talking about the cast, and it was great. And then we also met the girl who plays Krista from Attack on Titan.
Mm-hmm.
She was so sweet. She, like, embodies her characters.
I think she was one of my favorite people to talk to.
Yeah. She's so energetic. So nice.
Yeah. And we also obviously got some cool art. Oh, I'm wearing one of the things that I got. I don't know if you can see.
I did. I noticed those.
Yes. I was like, you know what? I want to be a nerd today and wear.
They're pretty.
Right? They are. And you can, like, I got Howl's earrings from Howl's Moving Castle. And I love it. I got a clock from Dr. Stone that has, instead of numbers, it is the first 12 elements from the periodic table, which is pretty awesome. And then I got a Link Click print.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. And besides, I got Rey's voice actress to sign a poster of Rey, so I bought the poster from her and she signed it for me. And then I also got a really cute keychain of Rumpo from Bungo Stray Dogs. And then there was the artist I really liked there who was selling some stickers, so I got 2 Haikyuu stickers from her, which was Kenma and Kai from Nekoma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe we should
post it.
Yeah, share what we've got, what we got. Anyway, yeah, we just wanted to talk about that. It was super fun. And we also, of course, watched lots of anime.
Oh my goodness, we binged Kaguya-sama Love is War.
Yes. And we also watched Grave of the Fireflies, which we'd already seen, but it's...
Ruth hadn't. She was looking pretty, I don't know, her emotions were probably leaking.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. But I like that movie, even though it's really sad, but you, like, know what happens right at the beginning, so I think it helps a lot.
It just shows the depth of human emotion, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and gives you a perspective from the other side.
Yeah, which I really appreciate.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, speaking of things that give you perspective on humanity.
Yes. We should get into this episode. Just want to talk about Comic-Con. And if you have not been to one, you should go.
They're really fun.
Okay. Yes. Let's actually talk about this episode. So summary for the episode. A rebel victory is imminent, and hope takes hold among Mustang and Armstrong's troops. Central's forces teeter on the brink of collapse until their fallen leader returns to take control.
Yes, and this covers manga chapter 96, Two Strong Women, and 97, The Two Philosophers.
Interesting. The title for this episode is interesting, because it's just, like, based on one, like, line from the manga.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I can think of a better title for it right now at the moment, but...
Right? And it's like, I don't know if there'd be anything better. I mean, I'm sure there is, but... I don't know. I think it's... it makes
maybe sense, taking up the mantle, something like that.
Yeah, like, I think it should still embody the same... embody the same theme, but... Maybe not that wording. I don't know. All right. Okay, so we can start. Ed and Mustang and Scar and Hawkeye, they are lost in the tunnels. They're, like, trying to find Father. And Mustang and Ed are back to their old ways. They're bickering. And Scar is like, shut up. Like, you guys need to be quiet. And then we get a really sweet moment between Hawkeye and Scar. She thanks him for saving Roy. And I wrote this. This is a personal note of mine. I was like, another part of Scar's heart melts. Like, just the chink by chink. They're breaking him down. And also, like, he's come so far. Like, he literally
met so many people.
He just saved two of the people who I think you could argue like killed the most people in Ishbal.
Yeah. Like, I think his perspective, well, it's changed after like living in Amestris for so long, but also after meeting May, especially because she's from another country too. She's from Xing, and he's learning about the world in its entirety through all these people. And then definitely his interactions with Marco have formed like how his feelings have changed.
Yeah. He's a good character.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He is. I think I like him overall.
Yeah.
Okay. So the central soldiers, there's a ceasefire at the main gate. They hear over the radio because the Briggs soldiers have taken the operation center. And Olivier talks to Buccaneer. He's like, don't open the gates yet. We can't let any of the Immortal Army out to, you know, ravage the city. And which I think is a nice, nice touch. Because, like, yeah, they're here for the people. They're not, you know, they're not some evil, evil group.
Yeah, unlike the current institution.
Right? And then we see another general. He tries to take command in the Führer's office. But the Immortal Legion has also arrived at the office and they get eaten. And Sloth is reforming and still able to fight. and the Armstrongs get hit by Sloth at full speed, and he's very annoyed. I like Sloth's line. He's like, such a stubborn woman, that general.
Yeah, and also, I actually have a manga note. So when Sloth kind of, you know, gets up from his injuries, in the manga, his body is still messed up. Like, he has bones sticking out everywhere. He's not reforming as fast. And you would think that would be a good thing. But then the Armstrongs note that he can cover more surface area because he's just got, you know, I mean, like, sharp bones jutting out of his skin.
Mm-hmm.
So he could impale them. And I thought that was, like, really interesting, and also a cool way to explain the nitty-gritties of how this battle would turn out. It's a more realistic thing to add, as real as you can get in a fight with a homunculus.
Yeah.
but my theory for why they cut that aspect from the anime is, one, time constraints. They have to wrap this battle up pretty quick to get to all they need to get to. But also the animation budget would suffer for it, because that is very hard to draw those extra details.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the Armstrongs are, seems like they're losing, but the central soldiers, they use this chain to capture Sloth, or prevent him from, like, running at them full speed. And they tell the Armstrongs to leave, but Alex is remembering Ishbal, and he's like, no, I'm not running away again. And Sloth is about to attack again, but then he gets punched by a very elaborate stone that, like, is a fist. And we see that it's Azumi. She's come to help. Buccaneer has sent reinforcements. And I just, one note here, I think I know where Ed gets his style.
Yeah, for sure.
Because that fist was, like, so very elaborate.
That was very Elric.
Yes, it was. He was taught well. and Azumi is just amazing, because Sloth, like, tries to attack her, but she, like, judo flips him, and then Sig punches him, and Alex is like, who's that? And Azumi's like, he's my husband. And Alex and Sig, like, they definitely form a man crush right then and there. they, like, beat up Sloth together, and Alex stabs him again. And at first they think, oh, he's
gonna get back up. He's gonna keep fighting.
But then he starts to disintegrate. And he's...
I don't feel so good, Mr. Stark.
Oh, no, stop.
Sorry. That was very painful for me in the theaters. That's why I joke about it so much.
Joke about your own pain. Uh-huh. Awesome. No, instead, he gives his classic line, like, dying is a pain, living is a pain, just everything's a pain. And then he's gone. And at the end of the fight, Olivier and Izumi introduce each other themselves. And it's everything you would want.
I know. There's like two worlds colliding. And it felt like I got the same feeling in my heart that I do when, like, my friends from high school meet my friends from church or whatever. You know, like that like I didn't think you would ever meet, but here we are and I'm the thing connecting us kind of feeling.
Yes. I love those two duos are awesome.
They would definitely, like, after this is all over, if they get through this okay, they'd go to lunch together to just hang out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they would definitely be friends. Anyway, they introduce themselves, and everybody decides to keep fighting, because they're like, we can't leave it up to the Elrics. We gotta, you know, we gotta fight for the next generation, basically.
Fight now, fight for the future.
Yeah. Yes. Very inspiring. Less inspiring, Hohenheim and Father's encounter. Honestly, like, yeah, he's Father is not the most interesting villain.
He's the Lord Ozai of this series.
Yes, he is. The guy who's, like, just in the background, and he's kind of, like, a stale piece of bread. Like, no. No personality.
Get up from my chair to fight for one time.
Yes. And in this case, he literally is, like, has no personality, because he's, like, Hohenheim saying, like, he's full of, he used to be full of life, but then he separated the seven deadly sins from himself. And, like, those things are what make you human. And yes, like, too much of one can destroy you, but without them, like, they're not. We actually just talked about this in not too many episodes ago, where it's like, greed is not always a bad thing.
Because it can be ambition.
Having pride, not always a bad thing.
Right.
You know, like, I think those things are good in moderation.
Right. It's the flaws that make up humanity. You want to be wary of the flaws, but you also need to accept that as humans, we're not perfect. And there are things we aspire to do because we are imperfect beings, and we want to become better, and we want to make the world a better place. But at the same time, anything that can be used for good can also be used for evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and in the manga, Father notes that he doesn't want to become human. He wants to be a perfect being. Aiming a little high there, my dude.
Yes, yes. And Father attacks Hohenheim. Honestly, up to this point, he hasn't said anything, really, in the anime.
Yeah.
Hohenheim's just trying to talk to him and trying to explain himself to... Trying to explain... Explain Father, I guess. And so he gets attacked, and Hohenheim's like, careful, you nearly killed me. But he just keeps attacking, not saying a word. And Hohenheim tries to, I think he's just trying to get a response from him, because he's like, if you don't want to be human, why did you create these homunculi and make them call you Father? Like, this whole time you wanted a family while you're scoffing at the idea. And then Father disappears. This was kind of cool.
He liquefies the ground and
sink into it. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And then he reappears behind Hohenheim and, like, stabs him and tries to take the Philosopher's Stone. Because he wants to be, as you said, a perfect being. And he tries to take the stone, but he can't. And actually, one thing that I noticed in difference between the manga and anime is that in anime, he first, Hohenheim first says, oh, you want to be part of a family. And then father is like, no, I want to be a perfect being. But in the manga, it's reversed. He first says he wants to be a perfect being. And then Hohenheim's like, no, you actually want family. And I think I think it makes more sense in the manga. Cause yeah. I don't know, in the anime, it just like, he said he wanted to be part of family. And then like, father doesn't respond to that at all. And so I was just kind of like, oh, maybe that's not true. But then like in the manga, when he says he wants to be, you know, he wants to be part of a family. But then to me, the response was, no, I want to be a perfect being. Hmm. I wasn't clear on his response. Like, what does he want? Does he actually want that? Like,
maybe.
I don't know. Because I would say no. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't know what he wants. Yeah.
I mean, those who want to become perfect often don't know what they really want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we get a super brief scene, which I don't think is in the manga.
No, I don't think so.
Al and the crew that was in the woods, the car that they were in has gotten stuck, and so they're trying to get it unstuck. And then we like see someone walking behind them. We don't see their face, but they have a sword.
That was pretty awesome, not gonna lie, that they added that in.
Honestly, like I don't like Wrath, but his entrance is epic. So we go back to Central and the coup, and Buccaneer is fighting his very best, and he's protecting people, and we see him like protecting these secretaries, and Megan saw that he was like blushing.
They're like, thank you. And they ran away because they're cute little secretaries in mini skirts, well, not mini skirts, but you know, the skirt, the dress uniforms, and they kind of like smile at him and thank him and run away, and he turns back and he's just like, he's got a little bashful smile on his face that really doesn't go with his tough guy look.
I missed it. And then we see Sig and Izumi just being awesome, taking out soldiers. And they run into a general and they ask about for information about father. And the Armstrongs have made it to Fear's office, and one of the soldiers is like, hey, do you want us to set up here and take command? And Livy's like, nope, I'm going to keep fighting.
Yeah. And I can't remember if she noted this. Well, I think she did briefly in the anime, but in the manga, she said, why would I choose a place where snipers could easily get to me? Because there are windows everywhere in the Fear's office.
Yeah. Well, for the Fear, it didn't matter because he's a homunculus. But yes, for anybody else, that's not where I would want to be.
Nope.
And the fighting is kind of over. The Buccaneer has taken, and his group has taken the main gate, and all the other gates have been taken, and they've won, and everybody's cheering. And then you hear over the radio, greetings, I'm back. And I just love it. So.
And the Fear, that his jacket is off, his sleeves are rolled up, and he's walking towards the main gate.
Yep, ready to attack.
And he's got like a grenade stuck in his belt or something.
That's epic.
I know. I don't like him. I'm not rooting for
myself. No, but cool. Yeah. You can appreciate a great entrance.
Yes.
It's all about presentation.
Presentation.
All right. And that's the episode.
Yeah. So we actually do have a voice actor note for this one. Kind of a minor role, but his name is Carly. He was the guy who was manning the radio, had some facial hair and curly hair. And he's played by Jason Liebrecht, who we met at our first Comic-Con. But he plays Dobby from My Hero Academia, Zeke from Attack on Titan, and Sua from Orange. And Carly's name is of Latin and German origin, and it means free man.
Nice.
Yeah. And then for tracking, Hohenheim made a door with a knob, which didn't seem necessary to me, but he's got style.
So stylish. Plain door with a knob.
Well, he could have just busted out. He didn't need to make a whole door. But
Seems like a very, like, deliberate man. Yes. So
well, he attacked father fits with a stone dragon, too.
Okay, so maybe not.
But if I'm not mistaken, I think Izumi also made a door. Like, when she used the fist to punch Sloth, I think she popped a door out of the fist and came out.
Oh, sweet. I didn't... Okay.
I think awesome. We have to go
two
back.
Two doors.
Yay! Yeah. And then homunculi deaths. Sloth had his final death. He's gone. Okay. Story elements analysis. Return of the villain. You thought he was dead? Psych! We didn't see a body. He's still alive.
Yep. No body. Still alive. I can't think of it.
Anime logic.
Yes. No, seriously, like, if you don't see a body, there is about 85% chance that they're still alive.
Okay, minor spoiler incoming if you haven't caught up with Bungo Stray Dog, so just ignore the next, like, 30 seconds. But Theodore, he's alive, I'm pretty sure. We just saw his arm.
I kind of agree with you, but at the same time, I want him to be dead so bad that I just...
You know what? They just have to go back for Sigma, get Sigma, and get out of there. We'll be fine.
They're gonna need to give a real good explanation for why he's still alive, because, like, the other quote-unquote deaths, like, they made sense why the person still lived. So they better have a good explanation for why he's still alive.
Probably, like, to do with his ability.
Yeah, that's what that would be my guess, because we don't know what it is yet. But yeah, I don't know.
But anyway.
Anyway. What was your favorite line of the episode?
Mine came from Olivier when she said, "We carry the burden of this world now, but none of us is going to be around forever. We have to show the next generation how it's done."
Good line.
Yeah. What was yours?
Mine here was from Izumi, her talking about her husband, and she talking to Alex. She was impressed by him, and she's like, "You're a fine man, but then I've already got a man 100 times finer than you."
You know what? There are a lot of cute couples in animes, but this is kind of my OTP, Izumi and Sig. I mean, right? Find yourself, like, a person who will treat you like this.
Right? Okay, what did we learn in this episode?
We learned to take responsibility for today so that tomorrow can be brighter. I know it sounds like a poster.
I know it sounds like a cat poster, but it's true.
Kim Morgan Freeman.
Right? We needed to have, like... what is it called when you just have, like, little snippets of, like, lines and sounds?
Oh, yeah. Man, yeah. I have a friend who does a dead-on impersonation of him, though.
That would perfect! That we could do, we could use them, and we wouldn't be... It'd be fine. Okay, and then who pushed the story forward?
Izumi and Sig.
Yes.
Heroes always show up the last second.
Right? Hey, right when you need them.
Yeah.
All right. That is what we've got for this episode. Thanks for listening to us talk about Comic-Con and also the episode. All right. We will be back next week with another episode.
All right. Bye.
Bye.